Hi, I'm Kathy Stoddard-Torrey, leadership coach and trainer. Welcome to the Positive Effect Leadership Podcast. Here you will learn practical tools and perspectives that will help you create success and happiness. Exceptional leaders are balanced, positive, and confident. All things that you can achieve. Welcome back. We're going to start a new series now, Uncovering Your Authentic Self. I originally have done this in March. If you started in January, this is my birth month. So we are going to talk about me and you. Let's take this month to explore who we are, why we are that way, and who we want to be. It's going to be fun. What could be more interesting than learning about ourselves? The challenges of knowing yourself. I had a tough time during 2001 and 2002. My mom died in January of 2001, and my then husband deployed a few months after her death. My mom had lived with us for 10 years. It was the first time in a decade that my sons and I would be alone. They were 10 and 12 years old. At that time, I led our family readiness group, military spouse. It was my job to keep more than 300 families informed about what was going on, offer help and guidance, and step in whenever there was an emergency. I gave it my best shot, but didn't handle anything as gracefully or thoroughly as I could have. The following 18 months was an enormous struggle, and at the end of it, I was burnt out completely. I heard my children saying negative, sarcastic things, and I realized that they were echoing me. I knew I needed to change, but I had no idea how. When my ex-husband came back, we moved to Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I was still struggling. I'd gained at least 15 pounds, and I wasn't happy. I thought that I was hiding my sadness and frustration, but one day my then-husband sat down next to me and said, "You are so unhappy. Do whatever you need to do to find happiness." I was startled. I thought about his comments for a while and realized that the problem was that I didn't know what would make me happy. I decided to find out. The first thing I did was to check in with myself about every activity I did. I would ask myself, "Do I like doing this?" I was surprised to learn that I did not enjoy military spouse activities. I had in the past, so this was a change that I hadn't noticed. I also felt that my attendance was at least expected, if not required. Times were different then. However, my husband had said, "Do whatever you need to do," so I drastically cut back on attending military spouse events. It felt so freeing. It wasn't hard to figure out what I didn't like to do. I uncovered those all the time. What I had trouble finding was things I enjoyed. I discovered that I wasn't doing anything that I truly liked. I began experimenting with new behaviors, and I went back to some of my old favorites. I had always enjoyed walking, so I started walking more. I also knew that I loved to learn. I joined a group called Facilitating Leadership and Group Skills at the Army War College. The subject matter was all about personal development, and it fascinated me. During this time, I discovered that I loved being up in front of groups leading discussions and teaching new concepts. This is where I got my start in leadership training and facilitation. I began to discover then and continue to believe now that we humans like a challenge. We thrive on personal development. We are happy when we are learning things about ourselves and the world. I read an interesting quote in a Harvard Business Review article entitled "Shakespeare's Characters Show Us How Personal Growth Should Happen." The author, Declan Fitzsimmons, states that Shakespeare's plays are riveting because he doesn't just let us get to know a static character. The characters go through tremendous change and personal development, and we get to watch. Fitzsimmons writes, "Shakespeare teaches us moderns that in the face of an uncertain world, self-awareness, that much vaunted leadership quality, is only worthy of the name when it is revelatory. And it can only be revelatory when we are willing to concede that we know ourselves only partially. We do, in fact, only know ourselves partially. I'm not the only person who is unaware of my preferences, weaknesses, and strengths. There is a model called the Johari window, and it can be used to help us better understand our relationship with others and ourselves. So my Johari window is about me. And any information that I share with someone else goes into the open area. Picture a square with four small squares inside of it. Each one of those window panes is one of the regions of the Johari window, and the first one is open. And those are things that are known both to me and to others. So what you already know about me is I'm a former military spouse and I have two sons. That information is in the open region of the Johari window. The next one is hidden. Those are items, things, information that I know but no one else knows. We all have lots of those, and we should have lots of them. We don't want to share everything. But if I told you I wore a size 8.5 shoe, I have just moved a piece of information from hidden to open. Unknown is the third region of the Johari window, and unknown items are things that I don't know about myself and no one else knows either. For example, maybe I could be a great computer program and neither one of us has figured that out yet. The region that's interesting in the Johari window is the blind region. Those are things that other people know about us that we don't know about ourselves. Perhaps everyone else can see that I'm inspirational, but I don't realize it. Maybe I have a distracting habit of messing with my hair that drives everyone crazy, and I don't realize that I do it. It's important for all of us to know that we have items in the blind and unknown regions of the Johari window. Some of them are good qualities, and some are not. Discovering those things about ourselves is revelatory. The new information can transform us. Like Shakespeare's characters, we don't remain static. We develop and grow. We're interesting. Learning about ourselves is a challenge that can be exciting and gratifying. When I began my journey of self-discovery, I felt lost. I didn't know what I liked, what my strengths were, what I liked to do, or what I wanted to accomplish. Over the next month, I'm going to get reacquainted with myself. I hope that you will join me and we can move things from the blind and unknown regions to the open one on the Johari window. Or maybe just move them to hidden. We don't have to share what we learn about ourselves with others. We do want to continue to grow, change, and learn because it is a lifelong process that keeps us interested and interesting. So one of the things that defines us is our frame of reference. Any police officer will tell you that two people who saw the same event will describe it in vastly different ways. That's because the information that we take in and the information that we send out must go through our frame of reference. It's important to know the things that affect how we look at the world. Our frame of reference is made up of four parts: values, priorities, experiences, and beliefs. To know ourselves, we must be familiar with our frame of reference. Is yours shiny, sleek, silver, or red with sparkly pink glitter? Perhaps it's a coarse wood frame or a simple black one. I picture everyone peering out at the world through their frames of reference. So let's begin with values. Picture your own memorial service in your head. You've led a full life, a meaningful life, with which you are satisfied. What three things are you sure that people will say about you? Would they say that you're compassionate, determined, honest, or logical? What one thing would you be crushed to find that no one mentioned? I work very hard to be kind, and I would be devastated if no one mentioned that I was kind. Spend some time thinking about how you want to be known and remembered. The list that you come up with is your values. For the most part, our values stay the same throughout our lives. In my leadership workshops, people often list integrity, faith, fairness, and compassion as values that they want to embody. We judge ourselves and the world around us using our values as a ruler. When we look out through our frame of reference and it includes fairness as a value, we are always looking to be sure that things are fair. We tend to notice things that conflict or align with our values. If something isn't fair, it irritates us. If fairness is not one of my values, then I won't tend to notice or act on instances of inequality. Priorities are the second part of our frame of reference. Priorities are a snapshot of what is important to us right now. In workshops, I call out a list of priorities. The group writes each one on a small sticky note. They place the sticky notes in order of importance as I say each one. I'll read off the list. Put them in order of the importance to you, from most important to least important. And remember, this is a snapshot of where you are right now. Feel free to add any categories that apply to you. The first category is career or business success, if that means more to you. This is your list and you get to pick, choose, and name the categories. Altruism, which could also be volunteering. Family, and that can be broken up into close and extended family. And in addition to that is significant other. Money or abundance, if that's the way you think about that. Health or fitness. Leisure time or hobbies. Faith. Friends or community or fun. And those can be three different categories if you want them to be. And lastly, personal development. Putting a priority at the bottom of the list doesn't mean that it's not important to you at all. It's just not something that you focus on right now. Remember, this is a snapshot. When my children were young, family was at the top of my list. Now my children are grown and I'm making up for lost time on my career. Family is at the bottom of my list, but that doesn't mean that I don't love them or think they are important. It's just not where I spend a ton of time or energy right now. Our top priorities influence what we see through our frame of reference. If career and money are my current focus, then I am searching the world for opportunities to make money and further my career. I'm not reading Family Fun magazine the way that I did a couple of decades ago. If friends and community are priorities, then I am looking for opportunities to connect with others. We notice what is important to us. A person looking for a significant other would see a completely different world. The third part of our frame of reference is experience. What we experience in our lives has a profound effect on how we view the world and experience life in the future. For example, during my workshops, I tell the story of wanting to be the fire marshal at elementary school. The fire marshal made sure that the windows were closed, left the room last, and turned the lights out. I wanted to be the fire marshal. At first, the principal told me that I couldn't be the fire marshal because my long hair was a fire hazard. If the room was on fire and I was the last one to leave, then my shoulder-length hair was more likely to catch fire than a boy's shorter haircut. Fire marshals were always boys. Back then, all boys had short hair cut over their ears and cropped close up the back. I told the principal that I would cut my hair like a boy so that I could be the fire marshal. At that point, he mumbled something like, "Don't be a problem, Kathy. You can't be the fire marshal." Then he told me to leave his office. That experience, coupled with several others about what I wasn't allowed to do because I was female, made me very sensitive to chauvinism and any sort of discrimination. When I look out at the world through my frame of reference, assumptions based on gender appear to be surrounded by fire with a big neon arrow pointing at them. I don't miss one, and I'm indignant and angry about all of them. Now, I've learned not to react and overreact over the years, but the noticing and the feeling is still there. I see a different world than a person who isn't fussed about stereotypes and equality. Over time, our experiences create our beliefs about ourselves and life in general. Beliefs are the final part of our frame of reference. Many of them are the foundations of our lives, personal rules that we don't realize exist. For example, I see many people who are hesitant to draw, sculpt, or write. Somewhere along the way, someone criticized one of their creations, and they created the belief that I can't draw. When I do draw, it's embarrassing. It could have been a jealous third grade classmate who made the comment, but we internalized the message and created the belief anyway. Beliefs are often created when we are children, and they deserve to be questioned from an adult perspective. Relationship breakups are common, and a lot of people that I talk with hold the "I am unlovable" belief. When we are young, we mess up and don't do things perfectly, which results in the "I can't do anything right" belief. A series of disappointments at the hands of others can create the victim belief that bad things always happen to me. Beliefs can be positive as well. I took drama lessons for 8 years, starting in first grade. I had a lot of positive experiences being up in front of people. My belief is I do a good job in front of a group. I also believe that I am not less capable or intelligent because I am female. That belief is interesting because it's the opposite of what I often heard when growing up. If I'd just taken the experiences to heart, then I'd be convinced that being female made you less capable and intelligent. I think that my saving grace was my parents, who told me that I could do anything that I set my mind to. I believed them over the experiences that I had out in the world. I don't know, perhaps I just have an ornery, disbelieving way of looking at the world. What's important to note is that we get to choose what we believe. As adults, we get to examine our beliefs and decide if they are serving us well or not. Beliefs can be so limiting. I am frustrated by the small lives that some people lead because of the beliefs that guide their actions. They believe that they can't draw or speak in front of a group. They believe that happiness and success are out of their reach. These are beautiful, intelligent people that could do anything they set their minds to. Uncovering and examining your beliefs can be difficult on your own. Enlisting a life coach can help you see them clearly. A coach can also help you make decisions about whether or not you want to keep those beliefs or create new ones. It's important to be aware of everything that makes up your frame of reference. Usually, an initial discovery session with a coach will include an examination of your values, priorities, beliefs, and the significant experiences that you have influenced you. If you don't have a coach, then ask a good friend to help you examine your frame of reference. Our frames of reference create the world that we live in. If we believe good comes to us and we have values and priorities that foster positivity, then we might have a sparkly, bright frame of reference that helps us to see the good in the world. Intentionally examining and creating our frame of reference can make all the difference in the life that we experience. Until next time, live big and find joy.
The Positive Effect Leadership Podcast is produced by Tapfer Consulting. You can sign up for our blog and find free stuff at kathystoddardtorrey.com.